Okay, let's turn back again to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me start with verse 26. Let's hear the word of God. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Heavenly Father, I ask once again that you'll help us this morning as we open your word to feed upon it for a while, to receive some instruction. I ask you to bless this time. Holy Spirit, I ask you to illuminate the scriptures, that you open our hearts and our minds to receive them. I thank you for it. Amen. Much of the crowd that had followed Jesus to Capernaum had enjoyed a filling and free lunch. They hung around. They were hoping perhaps that there might be more of those things in store. People like to eat for free. And it's not bad if you can do it. These people are following Jesus around, and rather than buttering him up, or rather than trying to get him to cooperate with them a little bit, Jesus in turn gives them a bit of a rebuke, and he gives them a directive. He tells them, "Look, work for food that lasts. We fed you a nice meal, but now you need to go a little bit deeper. Go a little bit further. Work for something that is not just going to pass away. Work for something that's going to stay." Now, the idea of work itself, it's pretty common. We kind of know that we have to work. People like to eat, and there's usually a relationship between eating and laboring. Those two usually go together in some way, unless of course you're on a nice government program that that we pay for, that somebody else don't and whatever. But that's not the norm, and that's not the ideal. We understand that we have to work if we want to eat. One thing these people were also familiar with was the idea of not just work, but the idea of works, especially as it related to the law. They were understanding about that. They knew that they believed that if they wanted to find favor with God, if they wanted to be on his good side, if you can put it that way, that there were things that they needed to do. If they were going to find favor with God, they would need to receive within themselves the mark of the covenant. If they were going to find favor with God, they were going to need to make the proper offerings. Offerings for different offenses, different blessings, whatever kind of a thing. They needed to make those offerings. And they needed to observe the different feasts. It were all a part of the law. And by adhering to those things, holding fast to those what they've been taught, they believed they would be in much greater favor with God. So they understood something about works. And hearing Jesus teach to them, it was a natural question to ask. When Jesus said to work for the food that does not fade away, the work that lasts, it would be a natural question for them to say, well, what shall we do in order to work the works of God? If there is indeed a food that I may consume that produces everlasting life, what do I have to do to get it? There's always that pressure. I have to do something in order to make it so. Now, one thing these people were not asking was they were not asking to do the works that only God is capable of performing. What they were inquiring about was works that God would require of people in order to be at peace with them. Well, Jesus answers them. And the answer that he gives them is not exactly what they're looking for. He says to them, you know, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. This is the work. Believe in him whom God sent. In other words, he's saying, have faith in me. This is the work that you got to do. Now, that's a very simple direction. That doesn't take a lot of education to understand. But it was one that people often, not only these people, today's people, it's an instruction that people struggle with. The Jews leaned on doing good works, as do most men. You know, whether or not a person is a Christian, whether or not a person is a believer in Christ, they usually believe there is this notion that is within them that at the time of their death, they're going to a better place. They build on the idea that their chances of going to that better place, of having an opportunity to rest in peace, that they believe that those chances improve by doing good things. And there is this cartoonish notion in their heads that at the point of my death, I am going to be escorted by angels to the pearly gates, where St. Peter will stand outside and determine whether I have done enough good things to be allowed to enter into heaven. We can never earn our way to heaven. There is no such thing as a good work by men, that can accomplish what the Lord Jesus has already accomplished. That can't happen. The truth of the matter is, we can never do enough. What Paul write in Ephesians? It's verses that you're very familiar with. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's by grace we are saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And not of works, so that you have nothing to boast about. Our salvation is a gift from God. You see how futile it is? To think that we can actually accomplish something on our own. Sinful people that we are born as. That we can actually, you know, all right, you know, I saw the homeless guy there standing on the corner. We'll work for food, so I tossed him a buck. You know, that's got to count for something. I was at a stop the other day, and I walked out of the business going back to my car, and the guy was standing there, and he said, hey, man, can I get 20 cents? Well, what are you going to do with 20 cents, right? So, understanding the situation, I just told the guy no. And I went on my way. I didn't give him anything. Now, somebody might say, that was a bad work. But somebody else might have said, you know what? I don't have 20 cents. Let me give you a $20 bill. And they would think, that's a good work. And if I do enough of those things, man, I'm sailing. God gives us the gift of salvation. He gives it to us because we can't earn it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. And it's guaranteed that way because he makes no allowance for us to say, look what I did. I have Arminian friends that I, on some occasion, go back and forth with. They always want to exalt themselves. And the thing is, I want to tell them, you know what? You did not make a decision for Christ. Christ made a decision for you. That's the reality of it. It's his gift. It's not our earned due. Now, there is a place for works, certainly. A while back, we went through the book of James, and if you remember in James 2, throughout the book, James labors the issue that there are works that are evidence of our faith that we are to do. He said, the fact of the matter is, if you claim to have faith, but you don't do anything, your faith is dead. And you have to wonder. You have to question. If you have an apple tree that produces no apples, what good is that tree? Maybe you can get a little shade out of it sometime. But it's not doing what it's supposed to do. As it relates to our salvation, we can do no work. As a product of our salvation, we are to be working. There is to be evidence. There is to be something that we do. What is the work of God? Jesus said, they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answers and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. This is the work. The work of God is the giving to you of faith. Because you won't get faith on your own. You won't desire faith on your own. This is God's work, putting within your dead spirit life. Putting within you the ability to believe in Jesus. If God doesn't do it, you won't. If you never remember anything else, remember that. It's God who does the work. It's God who makes you a believer. It's God who gives you the faith. That's a very short and simple message that Jesus is giving to these people. And how well is it received? You see, natural men fight off the gospel message. They don't want to hear it. For some intellectual types, the gospel is just too simple. It can't be that easy. What's more, there has to be something I have to do. That was the message, though, that Jesus gave them. This is the work of God. Believe me. Just believe me. So that message tends to make these people a little uneasy, because that's not the way they were raised. There had to be more to it. And so they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Personally, I look at this question from these people and I think, did you really ask that? Did you really ask that? I mean, how long had these people been following Jesus? And why were they following Jesus? Well, the Lord's ministry had not been going on that terribly long. He might be a year into it, year and a half into it. So if they had followed him from the beginning, which most of these people had not, you know, it was just a short while that they'd been following him. But why they were following was because he was doing stuff. He'd been doing all kinds of things. You know, he had already done many miracles. They no doubt heard about the water into wine. They no doubt had even possibly witnessed some of the healings, because when Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, he went through the crowd and was healing them. He was healing people. He was ministering to them. And for pity's sake, he just fed over 5,000 people with 5 hamburger buns and 2 sardines. And that wasn't enough. Show me more things. I want to see some tricks. Do some magic. That's the mindset of these idiots. These people. You want us to believe in you? You want us to have faith in you? Show us something. We need a sign. Jews were noted for that. And that was also one aspect of Jewish life that Jesus condemned. In Matthew 12:39, he said, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign." Wicked people are looking for signs. And so what do? When they're confronted, when they get a little rebuke, when they get something going on, what do? They fall back to what they know. And they say, Moses, hey, Moses declared. He gave us bread from heaven. Moses did this for us. What sign have you done? Now, you understand, that question insinuates an inferior miracle that Jesus did. You see, from their perspective, they're saying, hey, Moses from nothing gave us manna, gave us bread to eat. And more than that, he gave it to us every day. What did you do? See, you didn't, what you did was you started with something. You already had some bread. You know? Do you see how stupid that argument is? Moses started with nothing and gave us bread to eat every day. You only had a few loaves and fed over 5,000 people to the point that they were stuffed and there was food left over. You know, sometimes people would confront Christ and he would ignore them. He would just let it go. I think we learn from that. Sometimes, a wise man once told me, you don't always have to have something to say. You don't always have to answer somebody. Sometimes you let them ask their stupid question and be confounded by their own question. You let them stew in it, you know. You ever noticed that people, when they ask you a question, feel that they are somehow, they have a right to an answer? If you give an answer, it's always an act of grace. I don't care what it is. If I need to know what 359 times 953 is, and I can't figure it out, and I ask the question, you know, if I'm given the answer, that's an act of grace. That's an act of mercy. You know, the proper response would be, go figure it out. My response would be, give me a calculator. See, there is something that keeps this cranium, you know, filled up, but I'm not exactly sure what's in there. Jesus didn't let this one go. This was an error that Jesus confronted immediately. He says, most assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Do you know what Moses did? Go back to Exodus 16 and read about it. Moses didn't give them the bread. Moses was God's agent to tell them how to collect it. God gave the manna. God gave the bread. Moses instructed them that you got to go out and get the day's supply every day, except the day before the Sabbath, and then you get enough for the Sabbath. Don't get more than that because it won't keep. Get less than that, you're going to get hungry. That's all Moses did, was tell them how to collect it. Ouch. God is always, 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 always the real giver. Even as you and I go about our daily business, if we happen to be in the workforce, you know, earning an income somewhere, we're doing something to put bread on the table. It's always God that puts it there. We can't boast that, oh, look, I got a nice paycheck. Because you have no paycheck unless God gives it to you. I've got a fantastic job. You have no job unless God gives it to you. And whether you have a gourmet meal or you have macaroni and cheese on the table, God gave it to you. God is always the giver. Whatever credit we think we can take, and people do take credit. People do get wrapped up in the things that they contribute. God is the source. Always remember that God is the source. However, here, if they're going to consider Moses as the giver, if they say, if they're going to content themselves with the idea that Moses was the giver of the bread, Jesus is making sure they understand that Moses didn't give you the real bread, the real bread out of heaven. The manna was only a type. The manna was a type. The manna was not the bread of life. It was a type of the bread of life. Jesus is the real bread. Now again, it was God in his goodness that gave bread to Israel. They were hungry, and he provided. But the manna that was provided, here's another thing. The manna that was given to Israel provided nourishment, provided food for another day. But it was temporary. It gave them sustenance to get through that day. But the real bread, what we find in Jesus is not merely nourishment, it is life itself. And life everlasting. It's not a temporary deal. These people here are struggling, are trying to get a grip on where Jesus is coming from, trying to understand what he's telling them. And we can step back and read this a little and almost walk in their shoes. Because sometimes we're confronted with the same things that they're dealing with. Sometimes we question. And that's why Jesus says, have faith in me. Have faith in me. It's so important. Sunday night I preached from Luke, and we talked about the disciples leaving to follow Jesus. They just pulled the boats up onto the shore and left them and went their way. And as happens so often, Jen will call me in the morning when she's going to work, and we talk, And our usual conversation in the morning is bemoaning the fact that we're going to work. Trying to find, some light in this tunnel that we're in for that day. And, I told her, I said, it's a common complaint. I have to ask God to forgive me all the time. I said, I just wish I could retire from that road. Walk away from it and do all this. And she says to me, she says, didn't somebody just preach last night about these guys leaving their boats and walking? I said, I knew that would come back and bite me. Nevertheless, we still trust in God. We still have faith in Christ. because he's the one who cares for us. He's the one that feeds us. He's the one that provides all that we need. And we thank him for that. Let's pray.